I thought that I would try and remember how long we go back in a relationship. Many women here know Marilyn Brooks, but it's so long ago, and that is such a good thing. Like, I'm thinking the 90s, and that is good fellowship when we can say that. So I want to introduce to you Marilyn Brooks. She's a registered nurse and a graduate of Master's Seminary in Peterborough. After spending many years on her own and ministering at singles and women's events, God gave her John Brooks. Where's John today? Is he here? Oh, John wasn't able to come. We love John. He's awesome. And God gave her John Brooks. Both are ordained with Elim Fellowship Canada and are on staff at the Embassy Church in Oshawa. And we're just going to invite Marilyn to come up now and just be ready for this little powerhouse. In all my emails, I said, Marilyn, you are such a powerhouse. We can't wait.
You know what? I was just telling someone this morning that when I come here, it kind of feels like I'm coming home. It does. It feels like I'm coming home. And to look around and just see so many faces. I mean, we have prayed together. We have cried together. Oh, my goodness. We have come through a lot of years together. Right, Sandra? Right. We have come through so much together. And so to come back here, it's been a little while, and to come back here and be able to share with you twice today is really, really exciting. And this little gem over here is a scene stealer. So if you look at her instead of at me, I'm good with that. I am so good with that. I think I probably said this to you before when I've come to speak, that I never take for granted women that come out on a Saturday, or on any day of the week, actually, because you're not here because you have nothing else to do. What would some of you be doing if you weren't here? Just shout it out. I'm telling you, it goes on and on and on. And let me tell you, I was telling the ladies at our church this, just so you're, oh, hi, Pastor Ralph. President, how did you sneak in that in your tallness? Now, what was I going to say? Oh, yeah. I've told the ladies in our church that I just want you to realize that laundry is never really ever done. Just so you realize that. And when you dust, Irma Bombeck used to say a couple things. Irma Bombeck used to say, housework, if done properly, will kill you. She used to say that. And bless her heart. And she also used to say, there's no sense in dusting. Dust must be dust must be the will of God, because it just comes back. So I never, ever take for granted that you're here. There is a list of stuff that you could be doing. And it's not me that has brought you here. It is not the Debs that have brought you here. It is not the worship team that has brought you here. It is Holy Spirit that has brought you here. I would like to introduce you to the people that I brought with me. Now, those of you who have known me like forever, know that I always used to travel alone, always. And especially when I was single, anybody who said that, you know, oh, can I come with you? And I knew, usually it was a single woman that was in her 30s. And I'm going to speak at a singles conference. Oh, yeah, they really want to come to help me. They're hoping that they'll meet somebody. So I used to say to them, no. Not this time. And I just wanted to do it by myself. And I think I was sharing with them at the conference that if there ever was a day that you could step out into what, hi, I just saw you. Good to see you. sitting right beside Deb. If there ever was a day that you could step out and do what God is calling you to do all by your sweet self, this is not it. This is not it. And so you will be hearing some about Get Up, of course, today, especially this morning. I just wanted to introduce you to it a little bit because I can't help myself. I would try not to, but I can't help myself. So I will. But when the Lord spoke to me about Get Up, I had no concept of a team. I do things by myself, just me and Jesus. I don't want anybody in the car. I don't want anybody talking to me. I don't want anybody telling me when we can stop for coffee and when we can't. I just me and Jesus. That's how we do things. And then I got married. That was different. And then just over this last 2 years, and like I say, you'll hear more about this than you would probably really want to, but when the Lord spoke to me about this new venture into this ministry to women called Get Up, he gave me a team. I'm telling you, they were just in my face. And it wasn't just a team of gifted people who could do all the things I can't do. There's no one on our team, well, maybe except for Brian and Anna, but there's no one on our team that I actually went to and asked them, could you help me? I just want to drop that nugget into somebody's heart today. If God is calling you to do something, you do not have to go scrounging around looking for people who will give up their time and their energy and their resources and their giftings to help you with your calling. God will so put them in your face. So I just want to introduce you to you the ones that I brought with me. I didn't bring them. They brought me. The ones who brought me here this morning, there are actually 8 people besides myself on the team. And I'll introduce you to Brian and Anna first. They're our most recent members, and I've already mentioned them. Brian is right there behind the camera. Hi, Brian. And he is such a gifted and anointed man, but he is taken by Anna, right here. Now, the reason that God brought them onto the team is because we needed video for the website and all these things that I know squat about. Right, Nolarine? Right. And so through Sherry, who I'll introduce you to in a minute, but you all know her. The world knows Sherry. Anyway, I approached Brian and Anna because as a married couple, they are a dynamic team. Anna is a worship leader and plays keyboard, and she is such an anointed addition to our team. And Brian comes and does video. And gives it his best. He does it with excellence. But then he works hours behind the scenes, editing and just doing all the things that need to be done. And so when we had a team meeting and Sherry suggested that Brian and Anna be invited to join the team, we met at, I don't know why I'm telling you all this, but anyway, I'm there. We met at Tim Hortons, and I thought they might say, like, I shared my heart about Get Up. And I told them who else was on the team and stuff, and just expressed what I felt was the call of God, and would they be interested in helping in the music and with the video. And my faith was just, I thought they might say, well, okay. I mean, we're busy, and we'll help you out when we can. It was nothing like that. Brian and Anna, as one, said, yes! And not only will we do that, we can do this, and what about that? And then there's a good idea. And you know what? We've got an idea for this. And I'm sitting there at Tim Hortons just staring at them, and they're coming up with all these ideas. We can do this and this and this. And you know what? When you go on the road, we're coming. And here they are. Anna, stand up. This is Brian and Anna. Sherry. Sherry, do you want to say a few words of greeting? Come on up here. They haven't seen you. You have not actually. Sherry's precious husband, Mike, passed away 4 years ago tomorrow. 4 years ago tomorrow. And we miss him constantly. And Sherry, some of you I know are going to want to talk to her afterwards. She hasn't been back since Mike has gone to heaven. And Sherry just carries on in an anointing that is just amazing. She pulls all the rest of us up to her level. I'm just going to let her greet you because she's so glad to be here. I know she is.
Yes, I am so grateful to be back with you girls. Last time I came, I was great. No, I wasn't grateful, Annie. Last time I came, I was Victorian tea. I like to dress up, you know. It's like God lets me dress up and act weird, and nobody has to pay me to do that. I just enjoy it. Anyway, so this is me. This is the real me. Dye job, you know, next time I'll be redhead. You know, it keeps going blonde and red. Anyway, when Marilyn first asked me to be a part of this, it's like she had heard from the Lord at the lake, and she sent me a text and said, "Are you in with me?" And I immediately sent giant letters, "Yes." And Pastor John says, How come it took you so long to answer? Because God had already been dealing with me about starting something for women to encourage and build up, you know, edify. That's what God's called us to do. And it's like, but I'm not the leader. I'm just the one that comes alongside and helps. And so when she told me that, I thought, yes. So we had the first meeting in my house, and there was 30 women. And I go, well, I guess we can't do it in a home. So then we had to move to the church. And from the beginning, we claimed this family center that was our original church, because these women had to climb these great big long stairs to go upstairs for a meeting once a month. And it's like, well, we're all at that middle age, and you know. So anyway, but so we claimed the family center from the beginning, and this season we're in the family center. So we don't have to climb the stairs, so it's more accessible, and we have the round tables just like this, and now we have Anna to do the worship, and Anna's been my friend for 40-something years, too, so we used to do worship for Women's Glow and things. So it's like we are so grateful, you know, to have her and Brian. We just knew it was God calling them, and it's like I am so blessed to be a part of this ministry, because Marilyn's just a wonderful, wonderful friend and sister in the Lord, and she hears from God. And it's like it's a fresh word. It's not something out of the books. It's a fresh word. And we watched how from the very first meeting, she said, I got my T-shirts, I got, you know, the logo, but I don't have a message, you know. But we saw how every month God would give her the message, and the next month he'd give her another one, and then another one. And we just knew how it just built and built and built. And we were just so blessed. And we continue to build on that foundation, and that foundation is Jesus.
Amen. 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 So I know Sherry would like to hug lots of you. Mama Lynette, I'm going to leave you to last. Lori over there at the book table. This Lori calls me Mama. This is a daughter. This is my daughter. Do you have anything you'd like to say? Because I have some things I want to say about you. I don't think I've told you the Lori and Arnie story. Have I told you the Lori and Arnie story? Okay, I don't want to take time to tell you the whole story. It's a magnificent story, but let me just tell you this part. John and I were looking after the new Christians class, and Arnie, who is Lori's husband, handsome, tall, gifted man, Arnie had just gotten saved, and Lori had just kind of like rededicated her life, and there's a whole story behind that. And that I won't go into, but because I do have a message. Anyway, so it's just like I haven't seen you in a while. I want to chat. So God started to speak to Arnie, I think, about wanting to get married and wanting to be baptized in water. And so my husband does all the baptisms at the embassy. They call him John the Baptist. And so... So here's what they did. I mean, when God speaks to Arnie, it's like we're doing it now, right? Arnie's just like that. And so baptism Sunday, there they were. They were baptized together. It was a glorious baptism. It was just, they were both just so rejoicing in the Lord. And And Arnie went off to the men's washroom, and Arnie is a carpenter. He's an excellent carpenter, and Arnie never wears a suit. Although he has been more lately. He's been dressing to the nines lately, but at that point, he didn't wear suits. So he went into the washroom and put on this sharp, sharp, beautiful suit. And Lori went into the washroom, and whenever I tell this story, when they haven't seen Lori, I always have to tell everybody she has long hair. Because, I mean, we baptized by immersion, right? So she's soaking wet. So she went into the washroom and blew her hair dry and everything and put on makeup and put on this beautiful ivory satin dress with flowers. Oh my goodness. One of the classrooms upstairs in the church, we had turned the chairs and turned it into a little chapel. And Arnie and John stood there, and Lori walked in, and we had a wedding. We had a wedding. It was fabulous. And little did I know the son and the daughter that they would become to John and I. And Lori is just a right arm in the Get Up Ministry. Mama Lynette, come and say hi to the people. Mama Lynette... you'll hear about the website later. Like, all this stuff is, I am so in over my head. There are blogs on the website, and Mama Lynette has started writing blogs for the Get Up website. Yes! Yes! Come on up and say hi.
I hate these things. They're almost bigger than me. I've got an advantage over all of y'all. I knew Marilyn when she was in Edgeley. Do you remember that, honey? Yeah? When we were in the, she spoke at our first ladies, Elam ladies conference when we were in the nunnery. Yeah. And she's become my daughter since, so, you know. But it's a pleasure for me to be back here always. As I told our conference, I'm 86 years of age, but I'm not retired. I am refired. Yeah. Yeah. It's been a pleasure for me to work alongside Marilyn. I'm not part of her team. I just kind of push her along and we talk. And, you know, being a mother, I can correct her and tell her what the Lord should and shouldn't. You know, not that the Lord shouldn't, but what she shouldn't do. And so, you know, we get along well, and we've known Marilyn and John. They were our co-pastors when we were in Faith Temple. So we've known each other a long time and grown to love each other. And Nino, it's so wonderful to see you, hon. That beautiful girl. In fact, I think I almost pastored every one of you. Not all. But almost all of y'all I have pastored at one time or another. Y'all are all my babies. And it's so good to see y'all here and praising the Lord and blessing the Lord. And I better not talk anymore. I'll start preaching, which I shouldn't be doing. No. Love you all. Thank you for having me. Bless you.
Amen. Amen. So, Holy Spirit, we thank you that you have already settled in this room. We thank you for your presence. We don't want to be anywhere without your presence. Even if we were at home doing all those jobs, we need your presence. And we thank you that you have come. And we thank you that you are going to speak a word of life to us, a changing word, a word that will make us different when we go than when we came. We thank you for each one under the sound of my voice. I pray that we will love on you and love on each other. That's how you said the world will know that we belong to you. Not how smart we are, how gifted we are, how much we do. They'll know that we belong to you because we love each other. I thank you for the love that is in this room. And we open our hearts to you now to receive your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hopefully I'm correct. I think... one of your themes today is taken from Romans chapter 4, verse 17. that talks about quickening the dead and calling those things that are not as though they already were. I love that. I always used to think it said as though they already are. But it's as though they already were. It's a done deal. And so we're going to look at that this afternoon, actually, and a great, great story connected with that this afternoon. This morning, we're going to look at another verse that is very familiar. If you have your Bibles or your devices or whatever, some of your Bibles might open automatically to it. It's a verse you have on some of your coffee mugs, I'm sure. We do. We have it on our coffee mugs. It's Jeremiah chapter 29. So you can look that up while I'm saying my next couple of things, Jeremiah chapter 29. If you have your Bible and a pen, that would be great. Jeremiah chapter 29. I said already that there are so many things that you could be doing rather than being here. And you may have come because someone else was coming or to support the ministry or whatever your reasons were for coming. But God's reason for you being here is because he has a word to speak to you. And when God speaks and you hear, it's a game changer. It changes everything. It changes how you hear. It changes how you see. It changes how you think. It messes with the schedule of your days. It just affects absolutely everything. And when God speaks, just like in Genesis chapter 1, when God speaks, he creates. He creates what has been in his mind all along. That's why we're going to learn this afternoon that you can learn to declare those things that are not as though they already were. Because when he speaks, he creates what has been in his mind from the very beginning for you. For you. Jeremiah chapter 29. These are promises that you know so well, you can probably say them off by heart. I use the Amplified Version, which I've told you before is the women's version. It says 10 words instead of one. And my husband went across the street last night to one of the neighbors. He's marrying their son, and they were discussing things about the wedding next Saturday. And so he got home, and I said, how did it go? Fine. So how are the plans for the wedding? Good. Drives us crazy. So the Amplified has more words to it. When God speaks to you, not only does he create with his words, but he will shift your focus. One thing that I was praying as I was preparing to get up here this morning is that all the things that you have to do today, the things that you need to set up for tomorrow, what is coming up at work this week, the things that you're going to have to do for next weekend and next Sunday, and you should really start preparing for that tomorrow as well, for next Sunday, these things all go around in your head. And my prayer was that Holy Spirit would take all those things and take your focus off of them, because women are stinking busy. I'm praying the Holy Spirit will take your focus off of your busyness onto the one who is speaking the word to you. Because the one who is speaking the word to you is the only one who can do it. He speaks it, and he's the only one who can do it. So it doesn't matter what you work in your schedule, how many more things you try and fit in, you are not going to be able to accomplish the word he spoke. So almost, I've had to say in my life, almost without me trying, my focus has been shifted from my schedule, the demands I have to do at work, all the things that I need to do. My focus has been shifted from the things I need to do at home and the things I need to do at work and the things I need to do at church. It's been shifted to him, not because I'm holier than you. There is no way on earth, but it's because I have heard from him. And when you hear from him, number one, you are fearless. You are fearless when you've heard from him. But number two, your focus is shifted to him because he's the only one who can do what he's saying. He's the only one. Some of you are so gifted. I'm telling you, if you compared gifts in here, some of you women, we would be astounded at what you can do. You are not gifted enough. You don't know enough. Some of us have had experiences on the mission field. I mean, we have done so many things. Our experience is not enough. When God speaks to you, it totally distracts you from all of this to him because he is the only one who can do what he just said. You got it? Okay. All right. Jeremiah, let's read these verses that we know so well, 11 to 14. For I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts and plans for welfare and peace, and not for evil, to give you hope in your final outcome. That's your theme for today. Then you will call upon me, and you will come and pray to me, and I will hear and heed you. Then you will seek me. And in Amplified, it says, inquire for and require me as a vital necessity. And when you seek me that way, you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. And I will be found by you, says the Lord. You will hear me. I will answer you. I will be found by you. And I will release you from captivity. And I will gather you unto myself and bring you home, is what the rest of that verse says. Now, we know this verse so well. And we love it. We love it. We love knowing that God knows the plans for us. We just put one foot in front of another, and we don't have a clue sometimes. He knows exactly where we're going. He knows what we need when we get there. He knows the people we need to surround ourselves with to help us get there. He's got the plans made for us, and they are plans. They are so good. They are so good. Some of our backgrounds are so bad. There is so much shame in some of our backgrounds. And God said, I took that on Calvary. I took it. I took it all. And my plans for you, oh, baby, you're not going to believe it. I have got so much good planned for you. But I want you to realize who Jeremiah is talking to. This is from a letter that was sent from Jeremiah from Jerusalem. I want you to go back to verse 1. That's why I'm hoping you brought your Bibles or have your Bibles on devices or whatever. I tell the women, get up, bring your Bible and bring a pen. I don't care if your Bible's on your tablet, whatever it's on, bring it. Bring some paper, some good old-fashioned paper. Bring a pen and write things down. Let's read the first verse of chapter 29. Now, these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem to the rest of the elders. Pastor Nunes would say, on vacation, isn't it? On sabbatical. Away at conference. The rest of the elders in exile. And to the priests and the prophets and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. This letter, and many of you who know your word, you know this chapter. But sometimes we look at those promises. I know the plans I have for you. I have hope for you. I'm going to bring you to an expected end. And we go, hallelujah. And we do put it on t-shirts and coffee cups. But this was written from Jeremiah to the people who had been carried away from their homes into exile in Babylon. They had been ripped from their homes. You got to get this picture. Their daily routines that they used to think were boring are now a dream of how their life used to be. The homes that they lived in, they're gone. They're gone. Some families were ripped apart. They were separated. Friends were separated. I wouldn't know where Sherry was. She wouldn't know where I was. They had to work harder than they'd ever had to work ever in their lives. They were in captivity. Nothing was the same. Nothing was familiar. Everything that they relied on to give them identity. This is what I do for a living. This is where I live. This is my church. These are my friends. All gone. All gone. They had nothing that they could look around at that was familiar. Every day they were in survival mode. They just wanted to survive. And they wanted God to get them out of there. And so the letter comes from Jeremiah. Now we know it wasn't just from Jeremiah, it was from God. And we know that when this letter came from home, it came from home. Every day they were like, God, I just want to go home. I just want to go home. I don't know how much longer I can stand this. I just want to go home. And a letter came from home. And I can just imagine that when it was read to them, they hung on to every word. Do you know how privileged we are to have this letter from home? This letter from home with the words of life in it. We hang on to every word. Sometimes, now when I have my quiet times in the morning, there's not a quantity of scripture that I read. It'll just be a little bit. So when I hang on to every word, what are you saying here? What does that really mean? What is that going to mean to me today as I go and look after sick children? The second verse lets you know this was after King Jeconiah and the Queen Mother and the eunuchs and the princes of Jerusalem. It's after all the people who could have done anything for them because they were in high positions. It was after all of those people were gone. They weren't back at home either. They were taken into exile. So it wasn't as if that these people could do anything on their behalf to get them out of Babylon and back to Jerusalem. They were taken captive too. So that's put in on verse 2, just so you know the timing of all of this. And then verse 3 tells you who carried the letter. That's how important this letter was. It tells you the names of the two guys who got to carry the letter from Jerusalem to the exiles, these people that just wanted to go home. And finally, at the end of verse 3, it says, and the letter said. Now, you would think that the letter would say something like this. Okay, God's got a plan. I'm going to repeat that a little later on by the time I get a few verses down. Got a plan for you, you can hope and everything, but okay, but until then, like just lay low. Just lay low. Try and not be noticed. Just don't make any waves. Whatever they say, whatever they tell you to do, just do it. Just chill. Just chill. Just be calm. You know, all the t-shirts now say, be calm. Just be calm. Don't talk much. Do not talk much. And don't do anything. Don't do anything extra. Like, when they ask you to do something, do it. But just back off. Just back off. Like, just do what you have to do and just stay calm. This is not the God we serve. These people, like you and I, belong to a God who had a plan. They belong to a God who had a plan. Listen to the letter. Incredible. Thus says the Lord of hosts. And just in case you're wondering who I am, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. To all the captives whom I have caused to be carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Now that's a whole message on its own. And he mentions that again later on. I caused this. So just in case you're cursing the devil, I mean, there have been so many times, and I know if you've got to tell the stories, there have been so many times in your life that something has come up in your spirit and you've said, I rebuke you, devil. Not doing that. God said, it was my idea. It was my idea. Because the fact that you seek me with all your heart is more important to me than your comfort. The fact that I have a plan for you and I'm going to bring you out of all this, there is a release date, and I'm even going to be good to you and tell you when. It's 70 years. And I'm going to release you. And I do have a plan for you, but all of this is under my control. I have not lost my lordship. I have not slipped off the throne. I was not looking the other way when you were taken into captivity. Mm-mm. I have caused you to be carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Now, here's what I want you to do. Lay low. No. Build yourself houses and dwell in them and plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. Are you kidding me? I am just waiting to go home. I am just waiting for my circumstances to change. You're starting to talk to me here that I need to build myself a home, and I need to decorate it, and I need to paint the walls and put up crown molding and put some pot lights in the kitchen and put some granite countertops in the kitchen. I am calling those things that I have not as though they already were. Uh-huh. And I'm going to have stainless steel appliances, and you want me to do all this? And listen, you fix my circumstances first, and then I'll talk to you about building a house. No. Right in the middle of your depressing mess, build a house and decorate it just the way you like it. And enjoy it. And don't just do that. Cultivate the ground outside and plant grass. And plant a garden. Put in some flowers. Make a little vegetable garden in the back. You are going to enjoy. And you know what? You can plant a tree. Well, I'm not staying here long enough to eat the fruit of a tree. Oh, yeah, you are. You're going to plant a tree. You're going to plant a tree, and it's going to bear fruit, and you are going to just enjoy the fruit right in the middle of your mess. Build. Build and plant. It's going to grow, and you are going to enjoy yourself. I am not. I want you to get me out of here. Build. Decorate. Enjoy. Plant. And not only that, take wives and have sons and daughters. You want me to get married here? You want us to have children here? No. You get us out of here and you take us back home where we're comfortable. Then we'll have a party. Then we'll celebrate. Then we'll get married. Then we'll have children. No. Right in the middle of your captivity, right in the middle of the hardest days you have ever lived. Well, you change that and then maybe. No. Right in the middle of it, seek me with all your heart, build houses, get married, and have children. Pastor Nunes used to say, the only safe place to have babies was Eden, wasn't it? Oh, no, that didn't work either. Pastor Nunes used to say that. Take wives for your sons. Your sons are going to grow up while you're there. So, I mean, just give your head a shake and smell the coffee. This is what's happening. You're there for a time. In a few verses, I'm going to tell you the 70-year bit. You're going to be there for a while. Your sons are going to grow up. They're going to get married, and they're going to have children. Multiply and do not be diminished. When you come out, you are going to be multiplied. You are going to be greater than when I put you in. right in the middle of the difficult, painful, monotonous, trying situations where you just want God to just stop it already, just make all this stop and just take me out of here and then I can really enjoy you. No, enjoy me now. I am going to multiply you where you are now. You feel like you're diminishing. You feel like your identity is shrinking. You feel like your family is shrinking. People are dying and no one's being added. Here he says, when you come out, I will have multiplied you. You will have not diminished. When you come out of where you are going, I prophesy this to you this morning. When you come out of where you are going to be so much greater than when God put you in. I will multiply you. You're going to be so much greater. You're not going to be diminishing. I've heard people say, I feel like I'm disappearing. No. God is going to multiply you. And you are going to be greater. Greater in number. Greater in anointing. We'll talk about all that in a minute. And also, not done yet, and seek the peace and welfare of the city to which I have caused you to be carried away captive. Excuse me? Do you know how rude they are? Do you know how much they expect us to do and what they give us to eat? Well, I've told you to plant gardens and fruit trees. Do you know how much they've given? Pray for them. Pray for them. Because you know what's going to happen? It says in this verse, well, let's just read it. Pray to the Lord, for in the welfare of the city in which you live, you will have welfare. When you pray for them, when you pray for those who are over you at work, things are being done to you at work that are not fair. They're not right. You stand still and do your job with excellence and do more than your job. God will multiply you there. And you pray for the ones who are over you. That the welfare and the favor that comes on them is going to come on you. And you are going to be promoted past them. I'm just telling you that right now. Pray for the welfare and the peace of the city that took you captive. Because the peace and the favor that I will pour on them, because they actually did my will, is going to pour into you. And you are going to multiply. Now, just a couple of other interesting little things. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. And I'm just saying this morning. I'm not speaking on it. I'm just going to read it to you. Let not your false prophets and your diviners who are in your midst deceive you. Pay no attention and attach no significance to your dreams, which you dream, or to theirs. We have never had, and I'm just going to say this, and I'm just going to lay it out there, and then I'm going to walk right on by it and go on with the rest of the message. But we have never had a day when we have so many prophets. So many people who have said, oh, I'd like to interpret your dreams. Tell me what your dream was. I just want to caution you, as Holy Spirit is cautioning his people here. I want to caution you who you listen to and who you cast your pearls in front of. Because the Bible says they will trample them. There would have been prophets, and you and I have seen them in our lifetimes. I mean, we've lived long enough to see them. There have been prophets that will have these people come up to the altar and lay their hands on them and say, this time next year, God is going to deliver you. Hallelujah. And you get so excited. And God said, oh, about that. For they prophesy falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them. Like, that's all you need to know. You don't need to know a whole bunch of other stuff about them. You just need to know I didn't send them. They're not from me. They're not for me. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you and I'll keep my good promise to you, causing you to go home. For I know the thoughts and plans I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts and plans for welfare and peace and not for evil, to give you hope in your final outcome. Then you will call upon me, and you will come and pray to me, and I will hear and heed you. Then you will seek me, inquire for, and require me as your vital necessity. You didn't do that before, but you're going to do it now. And find me when you search for me with all your heart, and I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will release you. Jeremiah is my true prophet. I am sending my words through him. So the prophets that prophesy to you and you like what they say, God talks about them in several places in Scripture. I am just saying, I'm not speaking on that this morning. I am just saying, be careful, be cautious. One thing that will help you, let me just say this. One thing that will help you to know when you're hearing from God through somebody else mostly I'm talking about the prophets. So one thing that will let you know when you are hearing from God when somebody else speaks is that you've already heard from God in the first place. Let me, I don't know if I said that properly. But when you've heard from God, goes back to what I said in the very beginning. When you have heard from God, then you will have a discerning that Mama talks about. Mama Lynette talks about this all the time. Then you will have a discerning and you will know when someone speaks to you. I don't care what position they're in, and I don't care if they're at the front laying hands on you. You will know God didn't send you. You don't actually have to say that to them, by the way. I have found sometimes if people keep repeating it to me, and it's negative or is something that I know is not the word of the Lord, how do I know it? Not because I'm smart, because I've heard from God myself. And so I have actually had to say to people sometimes, I don't receive that. My mom used to say to people, well, my mom was an anointed preacher. Well, well. And sometimes she said I'd say to them, well, well, well. She did not receive a word of it, and she just walked away. There will be a time when you should say something. There will be a time when just walk away. Don't make a big deal. But you have heard from God yourself. Yourself. And so you will know, without any hullabaloo, without any big carry-on, you will know you're from God and you're not. Just saying. So in our story, back to our story, these people right in the middle, right in the middle of what is just driving them crazy, right in the middle of what has put them in survival mode, Holy Spirit has come and said, my word to you is live. Live. Don't endure. Don't just try to get by and survive. Thrive. Live. Build. Get married, have children, let them get married, let them have children. Let me come upon you, let me anoint you, let me bless your work in the city so that you will be blessed and so you'll have more of a chance to pray for them and more of that favor will come back on you because I have a plan for you and here's when I want you to prepare for it. Now. Prepare for it now. Get up where you are and act like I am who I say I am. Do it now. Act like in your world, act like you are not of this world because you are not. Prepare for the time that I am going to release you, he said to these people, and going to take you home. But you prepare now. You don't lay low. You don't just wait to get out. You live and you thrive and you let your world around you know that I am God. And you do it now. He said to Abraham, leave your home. We're going somewhere. Get up. And Abraham certainly could have said, you tell me where I'm going and then I'll get up. No, you get up and then I'll tell you where I'm going. Right in the middle of your depressing mess, get up. Build. Decorate. Multiply. Feed on the word of God. that his anointing just coursed through you. And when you move on, you will be ready. You will be prepared for the next thing God has gotten for you. Because where did you prepare? In captivity. I got ready now. I got ready now. A few years ago, I'm just trying to keep an eye on the time here. A few years ago, during worship at our church, the Lord spoke to me. And it was so definite that I was standing worshiping and I just sat down hard in the pew. And what he said to me was, I want you to fill your calendar, fill your schedule, that was the word. I want you to fill your schedule with women. And so I sat down and I wrote that down and I knew that it was a word from the Lord. But what we do when God speaks to us and we know that it's God, we don't need to run it by 10 people. Please don't do that. We know that it's God. What we tend to do is we interpret. Well, this is great. Because I guard my schedule. Because I am getting older and I get tired and I am working full-time in a nursing job. It's a great job. I love it. I love it, love it, love it. But I am working full-time. And so I guard my schedule. So I thought, hey, God's going to take me out of nursing. Out of Babylon. Hallelujah. I'm going to Jerusalem. God's going to take me out of nursing. I'm going to be able to quit. I'm going to be able to do what I did before. I'm going to be traveling and speaking to women. And oh, this is going to be wonderful. I even told the lady who leads the, did lead at that time, the women's ministry at our church. I said, I'm going to be coming alongside of you. Now, I'm not coming to take over, so don't get scared. I'm just going to come alongside you. I'm going to be able to help you because I'm not going to be working. This is going to, why don't we open our mouths? I don't know why we do that. I am going to be coming alongside you. I'm going to help you. And I'll just be able to get to know the ladies and minister to the ladies. And this is going to be great. And nothing happened. Nothing. Years went by. Nothing happened. God did not impress me to quit my job. There were no doors that opened for me to go minister. I obviously had to work, so I couldn't come. The ladies meet on Tuesday mornings. I couldn't be there. So I sort of settled back down into my little captivity mindset. So, I guess I'm done then. I guess I'm done. Well, it was great while it lasted. I mean, I went to a lot of places. I spoke to a lot of women, and you've given me a great job. And 2 years ago, it was in July of 2016, John and I got to go away for a week to my sister's trailer at Elam Lodge, where we have our conferences now. And I was sitting looking at the lake. And you would think I would be worshiping in that beauty, but I wasn't. I was just complaining. I was tired. I was just tired of it. I was tired of the work, as much as I love it. I love the kids I look after. I was tired of having to try and fit ministry things in around in my schedule. And you said I was supposed to fill my schedule with women. Well, good luck with that. I was just tired. And I was just sitting there saying, Father, you called me, but I'm tired. So the only thing I can think of, because we think we need to help him, the only thing I can think of is we have a life group that meets in our house. And my husband does all the teaching and everything, and they would bring food and stuff. But still, you know, there's the setup and the cleanup, and I have to get up early next, and people would want to stay for ministry. And I have to get up the next morning and go to work. And I said, I said to God, you know, if you could just take that off of our plate. I know John loves it, but if you would just take that life group off of our plate, if you could just do that. Like, I'm not asking a lot of you, but if you would just do that, that would really help. Because, I mean, I love you, but I'm tired. And I don't really see any real fruit happening in my life anymore. Maybe we're done. Maybe we're done. You know, it's funny, you think you need to be really holy to hear from God. Well, apparently not. God immediately spoke to me. That does not happen to me very often at all. You know how sometimes you ask the Lord, you just really need to hear from him, and sometimes it takes a while, and sometimes it comes in pieces, right? And he puts it together, and he spoke to me, not audibly. He just, bam, right into my spirit. And he said, I want you to start another one. Excuse me? We have one life group. I asked you to remove it. I want you to start another one. And I want it to be for women of your generation who are a lot like you. They think that whatever God called them to do, I'm sorry, I get like this every time I tell it. They think that the call that they've had on their life has passed them by. They think they've missed it. They are living in the midst of routine. They are in survival mode. The call that I have put on their life, some of them from the time they were a little girl, they've never, ever really seen it happen. He said, I want you to tell them. It's not too late. I've got more for them. And tell them right in the middle of their depressing mess, tell them to get up. It filled me. It completely filled me. I did run into the trailer. I told John, I texted Sherry, I emailed the pastor. The whole thing about, but look at my circumstances. Look at the way I've been living. It's what about me? The whole what about me theme of my complaint was gone. It was gone. The whole thing about, well, but I'm tired and you spoke to me a while ago and then nothing happened and what about all that and I'm just asking you to just make it a little easier on me. What about me? I am telling you. When Sherry and John and the pastor said, go for it, I sketched a logo. It's been totally perfected and made beautiful by my publisher. But at that time, I sketched a logo. I got coffee mugs made. I had T-shirts made. I was just like, okay, we're going to get up. And then I thought, what am I going to tell them? Okay, they're in the midst of their years. Okay, they've had a call in their life from when they were a child, and it's never happened. All right. So you want me to tell them that it's not too late, and that there's more for them, and to get up. Okay, that doesn't even take a minute. What in the world am I going to tell them? And God started unfolding. And as Sherry said, as we met together month after month, the ladies would say, well, how come it's only once a month? I said, because I need to hear from God. I don't have anything to say to you. I said, can set it all in the first minute. The Lord began to reveal to me, they have a choice. They don't have to get up. They can exist. And if they love me, they'll go to heaven just fine. It's a choice. And so we started from there. We started with the choice. And then we went on step by step to changing what comes out of your mouth. We kill things with what comes out of our mouths. We go to the altar and we say, I want to pray for my husband. And so somebody anointed prays for your husband. And then you go for lunch. And you sit down with your friends and you go, you know what? He's just like his daddy. And I don't see that he's ever going to be any different. And if anything's done around that house, it's got to be me that does it. Nobody does anything around that house but me. We kill miracles with our mouths. And so step by step, and I began to write these things. As step by step, as Holy Spirit began to open them up, we've got to change what comes out of our mouths. And then, and I'm just going to sort of move fast forward to the end, because this is what has turned into this book. That is not even a month old yet. It is a study guide. It is a book. It is some of my story is in here. The story of Get Up itself is in here. But all of the scriptures and spaces for you to write are in here. In some of the places I have asked you to do specific things, but in most of the places the Word of God is there and a place for you to write. We've been talking about something, but I don't want you to write down what I am saying. I want you to read the scripture and hear what God is saying to you that's going to change your life, and I want you to write it in the book. And it's not just because this is how I want you to read this book, it's because this is how I want you to live your life. I live by what God says. And so we moved on as we went step by step through how do you get up? How do you know when you're up? How do you know what to do when you're up? How do you know what the next step is? And we move step by step, and I